This week on WBUR's Morning Edition, we've been reporting on how officials in Boston and Cambridge are confronting the prospect of increasing frequent heat waves and rising sea levels triggered by global warming. Despite ongoing political dissension over climate change, city planners around the world are looking for ways to cope with its effects. To find out how cities are strategizing, we visited MIT this week and stood under the Great Dome there with scientist and professor Joanne Carman.
So what we're doing is we're standing here and we're looking out at the Charles. And if you look here, this is a map.
We're looking at your laptop computer now.
You can essentially play around with it a little bit and you can get a feeling for sea level rise. So what this is showing you is about a 1 foot rise in sea level. And when we talk about sea level, we're talking about a combination of the sea level rising along with high tides, along with storm surges.
So if there's a 1 foot rise in sea level, about 1,800 people are affected, 318 acres of land are affected, and 730 homes are at least partially underwater in Cambridge.
Exactly. What you would start to see is there'd be increased flooding. And so exactly where we're standing now is going to be very, very personal with the Charles.
Joanne Carman researches and teaches environmental policy and planning at MIT. She recently completed an international survey comparing how urban centers are preparing for climate change, and she says that in many cities, its effects are already apparent in the form of severe weather conditions.
So from an urban point of view, what that means is that cities need to be thinking about stormwater systems. They need to be thinking about
how to handle all that new rainfall.
Exactly. And then when you think about issues of heat, there's the stress that goes onto energy systems, but also onto individuals, onto some of the most vulnerable populations.
What do you mean by that?
Well, for instance, if we think about elderly populations, they're more vulnerable to heat, and they also may be on fixed incomes, so they may not be able to run air conditioners or have access to cooling as easily as others might.
And what you're talking about is not only how the natural environment in a cityscape will change, but also how we change or adapt what we build in the future and what we have now.
Absolutely. So if you look at Boston, they've been thinking about their energy infrastructure. They've been thinking about their transportation systems, working with mass highways, working with the MBTA. They're also thinking about their stormwater system.
How do Boston and Cambridge differ from what they're doing so far?
Boston has a longer history of thinking about adaptation. Mayor Menino began thinking about adaptation in 2007. It was signed into an executive order. Different departments, different sectors, essentially working to mainstream climate adaptation. In contrast, Cambridge has focused more on mitigation for a bit longer and solely on mitigation for a bit longer. They've now been thinking seriously about adaptation. They're going to do a citywide assessment starting this September. Once the assessment's done, they'll start by developing a comprehensive or larger type of adaptation strategy.
You've talked about mitigation and you've talked about adaptation. In the climate change community, what's the difference between the two?
In this community, mitigation refers to reducing greenhouse gas emissions, whereas adaptation means preparing for coping with the impacts of climate change.
Globally, is there increased attention being paid to adapting?
Absolutely. I think if you look at the work of the UN Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, there's more and more research, more and more thinking about the need for adaptation. Some of this comes because there's recognition that we just can't stop greenhouse gas emissions fast enough, that we're not going to be able to just put a brake on this and it will all go away.
What are the major impediments getting in the way of planners to either launch or continue this work? You got to think that money is going to be a big driver, the availability of cash to do this work.
There are no very good estimates of what it will cost for a city to adapt, but we know that it's significant. In addition, cities are saying that they're finding it challenging to just allocate the staff time. Interestingly, though, among the top-ranked issues overall are issues around gaining support, gaining commitment, gaining understanding of the need for adaptation.
Has there been the necessary political support in the U.S. because climate change is a hot-button issue?
I think there's very variable support. There's also the pressure to say that we don't want to think about climate change or to deny that climate change is happening.
Do you sense that planners are making headway in getting political support?
Cities are on the front line, so it's not a very hard sell in many places. in the Northeast, for instance, we've seen many cities starting to move forward, including Cambridge and Boston, along with Somerville, all the way up to Keene, New Hampshire, saying these are agendas that we need to be thinking about.
So some people might be listening to this interview and saying to themselves, well, okay, if my sewer backs up in a heavy rainstorm, my feet might get wet. If it gets hotter in the summer, maybe I'll sweat a little more when I go outside. Convince the skeptical. Why should governments and individuals take precautions against something that we don't actually know will happen?
If you think about all of the different types of activities that are part of adaptation, what that really says is let's do good planning. So we're thinking about how to make our cities livable, how to make our cities green, how to make our cities safe, how to ensure that industry can continue or business can thrive. We're thinking about how to stabilize our energy system so our homes are comfortable. We're thinking about how to ensure that our hospitals can keep their doors open if it's wetter or hotter. And so what we're saying is this is a way for us to move forward into the future and to ensure that our cities are vital and viable for many years to come.
Joanne Carman, thanks a lot for having us over to MIT, and nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Thanks for coming.
Joanne Carman is an associate professor of environmental policy and planning at MIT.